You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Michael Reg. I will be filling in for me momentarily. Let's now hear from the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine.
We're on to our next challenge of facing the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as we talked to the team this morning, this is a competitive, prideful, hungry team that we're playing down at their place. We know that we're not in a situation that we can go down there and put forth an average effort and come away successful. And we're going to get their best shot. So it's a challenge for us. And I think it's paramount for us to start fast. That'll be an emphasis for us all week. That we all know the facts that we've been outscored 55-13, I think, in the first halves of our games. On the road, and you can't build sustained success starting that way and consistently think that you can play your way out of it. So that'll be something that we'll look to correct. But it's a situation too where we're very much in the world of next man up with it settling in with that Alex isn't here and losing Armani. We're looking forward to the challenge to have whether it's John sliding over and Paul stepping in or Vincent Painter, and we also now have Nick McDonald available to practice. So we're still not sure exactly how it will all play out offensively, and then defensively we need guys to step up. Hopeful to get Ruben back this week, that will help. But that's our challenge this week. Part of it is the challenge of playing the Jaguars. And the other part of that I tell our guys each week is that we play to our standards, that we want to make sure that we're playing to the level that we know we're capable of and the high standards that we set as a staff.
Was it brought up at all among the veteran players that have been here about the loss last year to Jacksonville? Because I think they may have only had one win at the time. And does that help reinforce the message, that kind of stuff?
I'm sure it does. I mean, I haven't talked to any of them about it, but I know it's there. And but I know that was here too, I believe, right?
Mike, do you do anything different as far as your routine on the road after having gone through a couple road games?
Yeah, we're looking at it. Talk to some of the players that I think that will make some adjustments to the schedule on game day and see if that helps us.
Yeah, like what, without giving away any big secrets?
Just the schedule itself. Just the timing of things, certain things.
Like you said, you weren't settled on the right guard yet. I mean, would that just be a practice thing, see how each guy performed?
Correct.
Are there any concessions to the hot weather that you're facing? What do you do to prepare for that?
Well, to me, I talked at length with Joe Sheehan, and it's very helpful because Joe actually used to work in Jacksonville, so he's very well aware of what it's like there at certain times of the year. And looked at the forecast and know it'll be in the 80s and sure the sun will be out. So it's something we want to be aware of. It's not something you can just say, hey, on Saturday, I want to make sure we drink a little bit more. We have a hydration protocol that we've started today with our guys that I think will be important for them to follow. We talked about it in the team meeting. Then we'll do some subtle things when down there as well. We're aware of it. I don't want to make a huge deal of it. But it's something that we had to put a little time and thought into. And I think, too, that talk to Brad, I think we'll be in white. I think we'll be in all white, so that will be beneficial as well.
No walkthrough on the beach on Saturday? Anything?
No, nothing like that.
On draft day, did you guess, and did others in the draft room guess, that Bortles might go 3 to Jacksonville? That's A, and the other question about Bortles would be just to flesh out what you think of him.
Well, I think it surprised a lot of people that he went there. I thought Jacksonville did a very good job of playing poker with that one. A lot of the information that came out of there, you wouldn't have thought that. We knew that they liked him, thinking maybe that he could have potentially gone to him later in the draft, but he was a kid that he was high on our board, that he's possesses an NFL skill set. We didn't know a lot about him from a personal standpoint until we went down there and worked him out, had a great visit with him, got to spend a little time, got to know him, and then the workout was outstanding. So he was a guy that based on that visit, that his stock with us rose, and the success that he's having does not come as any surprise, that he can make all the throws, you know, that people call him, you know, Baby Ben because of the resemblance to Roethlisberger, and you can see some of that, that he's has the ability to extend a play, and then he's scrambled for some key first downs, and that's certainly something we'll have to be on point with.
Why was it such a surprise? I mean, they needed a quarterback. He was one of the top quarterbacks. What were you guys hearing?
I just think the information that was coming out of there. Usually, you get a pretty good feel, I think a lot of the league was surprised when you just kind of looked at the mocks and what was going on and assessing who was going to take one. I thought they covered their tracks well.
Do they come all off the scramble, or do they design anything?
No, they have some design runs. They run some zone read with them as well.
He thought there was a good chance that he might end up here. Can you say how seriously you would have considered him at number four if he had been there?
We stated this before. I don't think there wasn't any quarterback in the discussion for us at four, but we certainly had a first round grade on him.
I mean, Johnny's public persona and all the circus surrounding him obviously are different than the Bortles. But in terms of the way they delivered themselves in your interviews, does there tend to be some sameness there from one draft-eligible quarterback to the next, or was their personality starkly different in those presentations?
Well, the personalities are different, but they're still, and I talked about it before during that process of the it factor, and that was one of the question marks going to see Bortles because we didn't know much about him. And when we got the chance to be around him, that came out a little bit. And that was one of the reasons why the visit went as well as it did.
When you look at Jacksonville's numbers, I think they're 32nd overall, offense, 31st defense, whatever. Again, I assume you remind the players that can be scary while you look at those numbers.
Yeah, and to me, that sometimes the numbers can be very deceiving. Offensively, they've been missing some guys. I think Cecil Shorts is one of the most underrated receivers in football. They didn't have A. Sanders for a period of time. They were kind of feeling their way with the quarterback. They didn't commit to Bortles till a little bit into the year. So we don't get too wrapped up in that. We watch the tape, and I think it's easy to get our guys' attention when you put the film on, because defensively, this is a group that's going to – there's not a lot of big names. But you're looking at whether it was Red Bryant, Clemens, the guys that came from Seattle. But other than that, I mean, it's a group that they line up. They don't give you a lot of different looks, but they load up against the run. Their wheelhouse defensively is what we do well. They load up against the run. They make it difficult to run, and they take away the vertical passing game. The teams that have gotten after them a little bit have been persistent in the intermediate to short pass game, which are two things that we're capable of doing, but that's not how we've been successful. We've hit some big pass plays, and we've been able to run the football. So that they're built based on how they play schematically to take away what we've done, and that's going to force an adjustment on our part. I mean, we're not going to abandon what we've done, but it'll be a challenge for our guys, and we're very familiar with them defensively. It's Bobby Babich's dad is the coordinator. I asked him this week, was his blood thicker than water? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I can't use the words, exact words he used. He said, heck no. And I think he was 0-3 to date against his dad. So I said, I can relate to that. I was 0-5. So, but he's it's good that he's familiar with the scheme, but it's good. It's sound. And those guys play hard. All you got to do is they held Pittsburgh to 10 points. They held Tennessee, I think, to 16. They've been playing well of late, and it'll be a challenge for us. I don't think we can get caught up in those. We're not good enough that we can just show up and put in an average performance. That we know that we have to go down there and play, and we have to play well.
They have like 19 sacks by like 12 different players.
Yeah, they're second in the league.
What's that say? I mean, they just obviously.
And they're doing it without pressure. They're getting there with four. That's especially given our adjustments that we're having to make in the offensive line. I mean, they cause some problems for you.
Why did you not foresee taking a quarterback at number four?
What's that?
For the draft, why did you not foresee taking a quarterback at four?
That we weren't going to stray from the board from a value standpoint. We weren't going to take a player that was rated outside of you always want to be taking a player that you have ranked above the position where you're taking them. So if you're hopeful that if you're picking at four that you're taking a guy that's ranked in your top three or like I said when we traded out, like where you're always looking for that value. You don't want to reach for a guy from a positional need. I mean, we talked about this post-draft that the ranking, it's weighted by the importance of the position anyway. So you didn't want to push it up even further just because there was a perceived need.
Would be curious, had it, you stayed at four, would it have been Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, I think we've said that already. If I think we had stayed at four, it would have been him.
On the line of a real high draft pick, since Gilbert was in one would surmise that you've got to get something important from him over the course of the season, even though he's had the growing pains early. Is that fair that you're expecting quite a bit more from him as the season progresses, even though he's only a rookie?
Yeah, we're looking for improvement, but we weren't looking for him to walk in here and be a Pro Bowler right away. I mean, I think that's very unrealistic when you look at the history of the league and the number of guys that have come in and played at a high level at corner right from the beginning, that there's not that many. So it's he's on the learning curve where we pretty much figured he would be. He's getting better. I mean, it's something that he's practicing better, which is helpful. But there's a lot to learn, and we ask a lot of our corners. But we're more than optimistic that he's going to be the player that we believe that he would be when we drafted him.
Mike, in this, you know, all this talk about Brian Hoyer's contract situation, will you sign if Johnny Manziel is here? Can that be a distraction?
It can be if we allow it to be. I mean, that to me, that's generated externally and internally. That we're focused on the task at hand. I mean, it's something that you have to deal with issues, distractions along the way. Distractions come in all shapes and sizes. When you talk about dealing with success and dealing with prosperity, then that's one. It's okay. Now you got a guy that's playing well, and look at his contract situation, and this is just an example of that. That Brian will be the first one to tell you he's focused on this game, just like we all are. If things weren't going well, then we would be dealing with a different set of distractions. It's just part of the external noise that will test our ability to stay focused.
And that's something that Mike Pettine has tried to stay clear of with his football team. Keep the external noise away from this facility. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm, as you just heard from the head coach here, Cleveland Browns, singing the praises somewhat of a winless Jacksonville football team, Matty. But look, that's what you'd expect. He said, when we stuck their tape in, it got our guys' attention. No surprise there.
That's good. And we talked about it earlier as well, and I just think that they in most cases probably showed them, first and foremost, what Jacksonville does best to garner that attention, to keep their attention, because as we'll dive in through this show tomorrow and on through the end of the week, is statistically Jacksonville's laughable. Yeah. So you need their attention.
Mike wants to keep the players away from looking at the statistics sheet.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. No question about it. All right, listen, we've got a lot of fun coming up, Browns Nation, in this final hour of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's Mailbag Wednesday, yo. You know what that means. Your tweets, your thoughts. We dialogue with you at Browns_Daily, at Michael Regei, at Matt Wilhelm 57. That's how we'll roll. Scott Petrak always brings his knowledge from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram at about 2:15. However, when we get back, it's your turn. 216-578-0850. I just gave you all the ways that you could do it on Twitter. Let's go. We've got an hour left to get into this thing. It's halftime on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here we go. Don't go away.